We are in a series, you may well know by now that we are in a series of teaching in Acts, and we've been journeying that for the last number of weeks together. And this morning we have the great privilege of having Chris Brown with us, so I'm going to invite Chris to come in. He's all ready to go, and Chris is going to bring today's message to us, and I'm going to pray for him and for the reading of God's word as well, and then he can take us on from there. So Heavenly Father, we thank you. We prayed this, Chris and I are praying this morning already, but we thank you that your word is alive, that it changes us and has the power to change us. And so we open our hearts to your transformation this morning. And pray for Chris as he shares, that you would use him and empower him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chris. Good morning. It's so good to be with you this morning as we continue our journey through Acts. We've called this journey Manual for a Scattered Church, because we wanted this series of teaching as we journey through to be really practical and to engage with the reality we're in now, that we are right now scattered in our homes, in our communities, but still in the presence of Jesus, being led by his Holy Spirit. And there's three questions that we have put really as a frame through which we, or lens if you like, through which we will look at Acts and progress on our journey. And I'll just remind you what those three questions are that we're keeping in mind. The first is, how are we being led by the Holy Spirit? The second is, how do we take greater ownership of our discipleship journey? And the third is, how do we grow in confidence in sharing Jesus? So as we go through today, let's keep those questions in mind. And I'd encourage you, if you've missed some of the other talks in this series, to go and catch up on those. The links are all on the website. And last week, Paul encouraged us to think about how we can make it easy for people seeking Jesus. So let's keep that in mind as well as we journey through. We are today going to land in chapter 18 of Acts, and we will read a chunk of that in a couple of minutes. First, I want to share a moment from my week and a little bit of history just to lead us into our talk this morning. I had the pleasure of catching up this week with a good friend of mine. We talked on the phone because we live some way away from each other. And we chatted about life and faith and Jesus, and our relationship with Jesus and bringing up children and so many different things. That friendship was established a long time ago, and that's the moment I want to share with you. So in my early 20s, I moved to North London, started a new church there, joined this church, and quite soon I met this couple, Helen and Edward. And they took me under their wing. They invited me to their home. I went to their small community. I think they might have called it a life group, but a group of people journeying together, following the Holy Spirit, learning what it means to walk as followers of Jesus. They cared for me. They fed me. We decorated their front room together, but whilst we did it, we shared life. They helped me through some tough times. In short, they discipled me. And from that, still, we have a lasting friendship. Yes, we live some way away from each other. We don't see each other anywhere near as much as we'd like to. But you know, there's this huge deposit been made. And I share that this morning to give you one example of how God works in the midst of those connections to build lasting impact and bring transformation in people's lives through us. And today, I've called this talk Kingdom Connections, because as we journey through Acts 18, we will see again and again the Holy Spirit bringing about connections through which God's kingdom is going to be built, through which lives will be transformed. Now, the bit in particular that we're going to focus on is a couple who are mentioned here. So in the second half of Acts, Luke focuses on Paul and Paul's life and journey, and that's the thread, if you like, in terms of how the narrative fits together. But around that, different individuals come into that picture, and you see how their stories interact with Paul's story and with what God was doing in building his kingdom. So we're going to read from Acts 18, so do turn your Bible on or open it to the right page, whichever format you've got, and we'll pick up at verse 24. I'll just give you a moment to find that. Okay, here we go, verse 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord and spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. For he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. What a wonderful account there. And we get just this momentary glimpse into the ministry of Priscilla and Aquila. And before we dig into that glimpse, I want to give a bit of the backstory as to how we got here. How do we get to Ephesus with Priscilla and Aquila teaching Apollos about the way of the Lord more adequately so that he could go and build God's kingdom? Let's go back a bit. So keep your thumb in Acts 18 or whatever the equivalent is if you're on a device, and head up to the top of the chapter. We have a sequence of events here. So Paul leaves Athens and comes into Corinth. And he is looking for connections. And what we see here is he meets Aquila. And Aquila and Priscilla had recently come from Italy. Now, they had been exiled because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. So we start to see a bit of a picture. We see that Aquila was a Jew. We see where he was born, Pontus. We see that there's a husband and wife there together, Priscilla and Aquila. They're working together. We see that they are exiled from the place where they've been living. Now, why did Paul go and see them? Well, it says again in the text here, verse 3, Paul went to see them because he was a tent maker as they were. He stayed and worked with them. They shared a trade. Now, we've no idea whether at this point Priscilla and Aquila were followers of Jesus. Perhaps they were. Perhaps they weren't. Perhaps Paul introduced them to Jesus. We're left to imagine what might have happened. But what we do know is that they worked together. We know that they shared life in that way somehow together. Maybe Paul worked for them. Maybe they were partners. Again, we're left to imagine what might have been. Whatever happened in that moment, clearly a great friendship and relationship is formed, because if we go halfway down that chapter to verse 18, let's pick it up again. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sisters and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. So Aquila and Priscilla, they are going to go on one of Paul's missionary journeys with him. So clearly something has happened in terms of a connection there. Some people think that perhaps they funded Paul's journeys. We don't know. Again, we're left to imagine. But what we can know is that there was a deep connection there, because Paul would take people with him as he felt the Holy Spirit lead him to take people on his missionary journeys. So they travel with Paul. This journey takes Priscilla and Aquila on a journey. They came from Rome. They landed in Corinth. They go with Paul to Ephesus. And later on, we'll see that they end up back in Rome. Now, I want you to listen to a few other things that are said about Priscilla and Aquila. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, there's no need to turn to it, but we see that there is a church that meets in their house. One of these New Testament gatherings of people, a bit like our small communities. People gathering together, following Jesus, working out what it means to walk in the presence of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 16:3, and we'll touch on this a little bit more in a moment, Paul calls them his co-workers or fellow workers. He mentions that they risked their lives for him and that all the Gentile churches are grateful to them. So clearly Priscilla and Aquila had a very significant ministry in the work in the first century Christianity. There's a bit of backstory. I want to focus in now on the bit we've read. And what we have here is Priscilla and Aquila taking someone under their wing, as it were. Apollos lands in Ephesus. Notice how the Holy Spirit's been at work here. We have Priscilla and Aquila moving from Corinth to Ephesus in preparation for, perhaps, Apollos coming and moving to Ephesus. The Holy Spirit's brought them together, got them to travel to the same place. And here we have this wonderful moment. Apollos comes from Alexandria. This is this great city of learning. It's the place where the Greek version of the Old Testament was written. It's called the Septuagint. It's a place where great philosophers have studied. Apollos comes to them with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. So he would know the Old Testament scriptures, the Jewish scriptures, as he would have seen them at that point, deeply. He also spoke with great fervor. And he taught about Jesus accurately, so he knew of Jesus. But he only knew the baptism of John. He'd missed out on Pentecost. Priscilla and Aquila, they hear him. And they don't say anything in public. They take him under their wing. They disciple him. They teach him the way of Jesus. I love the way it's so gentle, the language. They teach him the way of God more adequately. They fill out his knowledge. Now again, we don't know. Did they lead a church here in Ephesus? They certainly led one in Rome. I like to think they did. And we get a little hint of that because when Apollos wants to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters in Ephesus encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome them. So the fact that there are brothers and sisters together in Ephesus implies that there are churches present in Ephesus. So perhaps Apollos was taken into this church and welcomed there and discipled. Now I want to take a little moment to touch on how Paul holds women in ministry in such high regard. We live in a culture where for too long women have been pushed into roles in the church that have not recognized the authority and the anointing that God has placed on them. Here at Christchurch, we seek to welcome women into all sorts of leadership within the church, to hear them teaching us from God's word, to see them leading aspects of church ministry. And with Priscilla and Aquila, we get this wonderful example, one amongst so many, of Paul's huge and very high regard for women in ministry. Let's touch on a couple of things. Firstly, there are, in your Bibles, you'll notice Priscilla and Aquila mentioned, and quite often Priscilla is mentioned first. That was really unusual when this is being written. Typically, in the culture that this was written in, the man's name would come first. So there is something being said, something of importance, of status being given to Priscilla. Now, if you like counting, you can go through and look up all the references, and you'll find that three references have Priscilla in the start and three have Aquila at the start. And one of those is just because Paul met Aquila first. Now, those very sharp amongst you might notice that actually there are seven. Well, just to let you know that verse 19 in chapter 18, in the Greek it just says them. But your English translations may put Priscilla and Aquila there as well. That's one little moment. What I really want to focus on, though, is this sense that Paul sees them in Romans 16:3. He mentions that they are his co-workers. He doesn't distinguish. He doesn't say, Aquila is my co-worker. Oh, and he's accompanied by Priscilla. No, not at all. He says Priscilla and Aquila are my co-workers. And they together risked their life. And if we want a fuller picture of how Paul sees women in ministry and how utterly important and essential they are for building God's kingdom and the huge roles they took, then you only have to read through those first few verses in Romans 16. And there we would meet Phoebe, a deacon of the church. We would meet Mary. We would meet Junia. Junia, who is outstanding among the apostles. And this is just one touch point. Now I land there and take that brief journey into Paul's heart here because it's so important for us in our culture to recognize that God calls each of us, men, women, children. He calls each of us to follow him. He equips us, he anoints us, he takes us on a journey with him to build his kingdom in his way. And our role, whoever we are, is to follow and to walk into what God has placed before us. Let's return now to Apollos. So Priscilla and Aquila, they taught Apollos the way of God more adequately. What happens then? Apollos goes to Achaia. And we see there that this phrase, he proves from the scriptures, he knows the Old Testament scriptures really well. God is using that gift he has given Apollos. And he shows them that Jesus was the Messiah. Apollos' focus is Jesus. And so Priscilla and Aquila, from taking Apollos under their wing, from discipling him, the fruit of that here is that Apollos has left them, gone to a new place, and started to teach about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? The way the Holy Spirit brings us together with different people, and sometimes that's for a long time, and other times it's for this short time, this moment, and then that person will go off and do more things for the kingdom of God. And we can never know. What we can do is we follow the Holy Spirit. We say, Holy Spirit, who is it that you are connecting us with? Now, I mentioned very briefly our small communities. And I want to mention those a little bit more fully now. We have, in Christchurch, a large number of small communities. These are places where a small group of people gather together and they share life together, share that journey of faith, learning what it is to be led by Jesus, to listen to the Holy Spirit, to pray, to reach out to their communities, to touch people with the love and the hope of Jesus. They're places where people thrive in deep relationship. And even more so in a time like this with us scattered, we can see how important it is that we see that the church is present now in people's houses. Because we can't be together in this building. But that's okay, because this building was never the church. This is a church building. The church is the people of God, gathering together, following Jesus, being led by the Holy Spirit. And so what I'd like us to think about is perhaps you're in a small community, perhaps you lead a small community. I wonder if you would ask the question, Who is the Holy Spirit connecting us with as a small community? Maybe you've had conversations with people, you've met them through different places, different ways, different parts of your life, maybe at work, other places. You've met someone and got chatting. Perhaps your small community is a place for them, where they too can join in with that conversation, where they can find a place where they can thrive, where they might find a place where they meet Jesus for the first time, or perhaps where they're discipled. And who knows? God might take them off to new things, and they might be with you for a short time, or maybe a long time. They might become leaders of another small community. And so often we see that out of a small community that is growing, leaders will emerge who God says, I want these people to go and start a new small community. But maybe all this talk of small community, you're thinking, well, I'm not in a small community. What about me? What I'd say to you is, if you think, gosh, a small community, a place where I could thrive, a place where I get deep connection with people, and you'd like that to be a reality in your life, we'd love for you to get in touch with us. You can do that at hello@ccweb.org.uk. It's there on the screen now. Write to us, let us know that, and we can begin a conversation with you and find a small community that you too could be part of. These small communities, now this is not so different from what we're reading about here with Priscilla and Aquila. We've read how in Rome they had a church that met in their house. Priscilla and Aquila led a church. Here we have small communities being led by women and men across the city, leading people to share their hearts with each other, to follow Jesus, to build God's kingdom across this city. So two questions. If you're in a small community, who is the Holy Spirit connecting us with? And how can we respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit in building on those connections? Second question, if you're not in a small community, pray about it. Seek the Holy Spirit. Are you asking me, Holy Spirit, to be part of a small community? And respond to that by getting in touch. And keep, as you go through this week, keep in mind, I'd encourage you to read the whole of chapter 18 and look at what the Holy Spirit is doing in the way that God weaves together the lives of these different people, Paul with Aquila and Priscilla, Aquila and Priscilla with Apollos, Apollos then going off to Corinth, them all arriving back in Rome, the way Paul talks so warmly of them, and start to see this network of connections that the Holy Spirit creates, and how out of that comes this wonderful expansion and building of the kingdom of God, and this building of wholeness in people's lives, the work of the Holy Spirit. That's all I want to say this morning, but I'd like us to pause for a moment, have a moment's stillness, and then I'll pray as we lead on into the rest of our gathering. Father God, I thank you that you lead us by your Holy Spirit. I thank you that like Priscilla and Aquila, we too can hear your Holy Spirit and be led into connections with people. Connections that are significant, connections that will bring wholeness into people's lives, connections that will expand your kingdom as those people go on to do works for you, to follow your Holy Spirit. I pray that now as we reflect on the journey of Priscilla and Aquila. Speak to us about who it is you are connecting us with. And let us have confidence and boldness to reach out to those people. And let us listen to you and respond to you in taking those connections where you lead, in inviting people to join us in small communities. Father God, thank you for your presence. Help us to follow you as we build your kingdom together in the power of your Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Sophie's now going to lead us in worship with Isaac. Thank you, guys.